This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
Welcome, welcome to CBS Mornings on this Tuesday. I'm Gail King.
I'm Tony DeCoppel.
And I'm Nate Burleson.
We begin with a search for answers in Waukesha, Wisconsin, after the city's holiday parade came to an horrific end. We've all seen these pictures. Police now say that a man who killed and injured people with an SUV had just left what they call a domestic dispute. They also say that he has used his car as a weapon before.
These are the five people who lost their lives there. Virginia Sorensen, Leanna Owen, Tamara Durand, all members of a group called the Dancing Grannies. Wilhelm Hospel, the husband of another member of the group, died as well, along with Jane Coolidge, described as a bank worker. Our lead national correspondent, David Begno, is in Waukesha, along with our Nancy Chen. David, we'll start with you. 48 people were injured on Sunday, including at least 18 children. You spoke to the uncle of one of those kids. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you. He welcomed us into his home. We sat at his kitchen table. This is an Iraq War veteran who sat there kind of trembling and shaking. As he recalled, a Sunday afternoon, he took his kids to the parade to support his niece. One minute she's dancing in the parade, waving at them, and the next minute lying on her back in the middle of the street with her eyes closed, unconscious.
That was the Waukesha Extreme Dance Team on the day of the crime. Among its members, 11-year-old Jessalyn Torres. Just minutes before the tragedy, she waves to her family. Shortly after the team passed by, Jessalyn's uncle saw that red SUV race by.
He went pedal to the metal, and he guns it down the street.
Ryan Conkey, who is an Iraq War veteran, says he grabbed his kids and he took off running to where his niece and her mother, his sister, would have been.
It reminded me of war. It was like a war zone. There were bodies everywhere. There was clothes, everything abandoned. People were screaming, looking for their loved ones. I could see some of the people that were trying to help the injured right away were huddled around them. And at that point, I had seen Jessalyn laying there, but people were helping. I seen the EMT pull up. I was like, there's not much I can do here.
Did you ever want to run up to Jessalyn and help?
I ran up to her close, and I seen how she looked. And I could tell there was a lot of damage.
These are new images that show the force of that SUV as it plowed through the crowd. A man rips his child out of harm's way. Another person is seen thrown in the air. Another one rolling down the street in front of people. Conkey says his niece was also hit and thrown by that vehicle. He says she suffered a broken pelvis, internal bleeding, and she's lost a kidney. Children's Wisconsin Hospital now has more than a dozen people in the ICU. Dr. Michael Meyer says it's really been devastating.
Just a big ball of raw emotions as you walk through the unit. People are shell-shocked. You look at the families of the children that have been involved, and most of them don't know which way to turn.
Despite that sudden trauma of what happened on Sunday, Ryan Conkey says his niece Jessalyn is staying pretty positive.
I did speak with Jessalyn this morning.
And what did she say?
She said, tell them to glue me back together.
glue me back together. Sounds positive, but Jocelyn's now unconscious now in the ICU. They put her on a ventilator, he says, just so she has some time to heal. So she is in critical condition presently. You know, Nate, when we left his house, we went just 5 minutes down the road to the home of the Perez family, a devoutly Catholic family. They were actually marching in the parade with other members of nearby Catholic churches. Camilla, age 11, was hit along with her mother, who's 44 years old. Both of them are in the hospital. Camilla, they posted a picture. They provided it to us, actually. She's given a thumbs up. She has a non-life-threatening head injury. Again, both mom and daughter in the hospital. They are expected to survive. It's such a small town, Nate. You could drive just 2 or 3 minutes down the road and seemingly run into one family after another who've been affected.
David, thank you so much. Our hearts are with the families who lost loved ones. For those recovering, a speedy recovery. Now, court documents say the man who allegedly caused all of this suffering has a history of violence. Police say his name is Daryl Brooks. He could face 5 counts of intentional homicide. Nancy Chen has been following this investigation. Nancy, what else can you tell us about Mr. Brooks?
Nate, good morning to you. According to court documents, Daryl Brooks was out on bond when he's accused of plowing into this holiday parade. He'd been arrested for punching and then running over the mother of his child with the exact same SUV used in Sunday's attack.
Minutes before this horrific scene unfolded at the Waukesha Annual Holiday Parade, police say the driver of the red SUV, Daryl Brooks, left the scene of a domestic dispute. They say he wasn't being chased when he drove into the parade.
We actually had a squad and barricades up, and he drove right through. When an officer tried to engage and stop the threat, he still continued through the crowd.
Brooks has a long criminal history. He's been charged with crimes 16 times since 1999. Last year, he was charged with 3 felony gun counts. And most recently, court documents show the 39-year-old allegedly ran over his child's mother with the same red SUV at a gas station. He posted a $1,000 bail earlier this month. Monday, the Milwaukee County DA called the bail inappropriately low and launched a review into the decision. Online, Brooks appears to be an aspiring rapper. In one video, he can be seen singing next to a red SUV that looks similar to the vehicle used in Sunday's attack. After Brooks barreled through the crowd, leaving witnesses to rush to help those hit, police say they took him into custody a short distance away from the scene. These photos seem to show a vehicle with a crumpled front end resembling the red SUV being towed away by police. Their investigation is ongoing.
Right now, our focus, the Waukesha Police Department's focus, the city of Waukesha's focus is the families, the victim, and due process.
Now, police do say they're confident Brooks acted alone and that this was not a case of domestic terrorism. Brooks is set to make his first court appearance this afternoon, Gail.
All right, Nancy, thank you very much. Today, a jury will begin deliberations in the trial of 3 men accused of murdering Ahmaud Arbery. Travis McMichael, his father Gregory, and William Roddy Bryan could face life in prison if convicted. They have all pleaded not guilty to the charges. Omar Villafranca spoke to Arbery's mother.
I think if the jurors pay very, very close attention, took very good notes, they'll see what actually happened to Ahmaud on that day.
Ahmaud Arbery's mother, Wanda Cooper Jones, has been in the courtroom every day as prosecutors and defense attorneys tell very different stories on how and why her son died.
He was running on county roads, on public roads. Ahmaud wasn't doing anything wrong.
That was prosecutor Linda Dunikoski's argument as she took aim at the 3 defendants Monday, saying Travis McMichael, Gregory McMichael, and William Roddy Bryan had no cause to kill Arbery because he had committed no crime.
And they made their decision to attack Ahmaud Arbery in their driveways because he was a black man running down the street.
Defense attorneys argued the defendants were conducting a citizen's arrest and that Travis McMichael shot Arbery in self-defense. That despite McMichael's testimony on Thursday that Arbery did not threaten him.
He has not threatened you?
No.
Hasn't pulled out a gun?
No, ma'am.
Hasn't pulled out a knife?
He did not.
Gregory McMichael's attorney tried to paint Arbery as responsible for what happened.
No one but Ahmaud Arbery made the decision to either reach for or certainly give the very real impression that he was reaching for a handgun.
And Roddy Bryan's attorney argued his client was simply filming what happened and cooperated with authorities.
Roddy Bryan certainly was not aware of any intention on the part of Travis McMichael to shoot Mr. Arbery.
Cooper Jones left the courtroom after one defense attorney made comments about her son's appearance the day of the shooting.
With no socks to cover his long, dirty toenails.
You got up and left.
Yes.
Why?
I didn't expect them to go that low. I'll just say this, regardless of how long and how dirty his toenails were, that's still my son. And he didn't deserve to die the way that he died.
Outside the courtroom, demonstrators marched around the courthouse in support of the Arbery family, and the judge actually had to move the jury into an interior room so they wouldn't hear the demonstrators. They'll be back inside that room to deliberate after the state's final rebuttal. Nate?
Thank you so much, Omar.
That toenail comment, really? Nate, I'm still sitting with that, Tony. It's whether it's true or not true, I thought it was so cruel and so inappropriate. And really irrelevant to what is happening in this case.
Well, my mother said it best. I didn't believe they'd go so low.
It was cruel. I thought it was
so low.
I thought it was extremely cruel.
Yeah, I thought it was demeaning as well. Moving on to another trial, Kyle Rittenhouse found not guilty of murder after shooting and killing two people during protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin, is now talking about his case in his first TV interview. The teenager spoke with Tucker Carlson of Fox News and defended his decision to be at the protest that night. He also told Carlson he is not a racist and even supports the Black Lives Matter movement. And he reiterated what he told jurors in court, that he acted in self-defense and tried to turn himself in to police after he opened fire. But he says he was told to go home.
What did your parents say when you called them and told them what had happened?
I didn't call my mom after I saw her, and she was in shock. She was like, she wanted to go into hiding, and I said, no, the right thing to do would be to turn myself in. I didn't do anything wrong.
So you knew that from the very beginning?
I knew that. A lot of people are like, oh, Kyle had time to meet with his attorneys to come up with this amazing defense of self-defense. No, that's not the case. This has been 100% self-defense from the beginning.
So we're in essentially a national episode of court TV here, it seems like. We're constantly talking about these cases. This one in particular was politicized from the very beginning. There are competing narratives and people are looking for the larger meaning. I think it's important to remember that it's particular to Wisconsin law, the reasons why he was acquitted in the particular way he was acquitted. Self-defense laws in general vary state to state. But the larger question, the thing I'm left with, is not the peculiarities of the law, but will they be applied fairly to all people in all cases, regardless of what you look like or how expensive your lawyer is? And if that's the case, then some of the imperfections that we have in our society may not work themselves out in the judicial system, which is, I think, what we're all rooting for, right? We want that system to be better than we are as a people.
Well said.
Thank you very much. Breaking news, President Biden has just announced that he's taking a new step to try and lower gas prices for the holiday travel season. Now, the White House says the U.S. will release 50 million barrels of oil from the nation's emergency stockpile to increase supply in the market. This comes as the national average for the price of gas rose to $3.41 a gallon. The release of U.S. oil reserves is happening in coordination with other major oil-consuming countries. China, India, Japan, South Korea, and the U.K. are also tapping into their supplies.
Now, the high price of gas won't stop tens of millions of Americans from visiting families for Thanksgiving. The holiday is also a major test for airlines. 77,000 people went through security checkpoints yesterday at Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta Airport. And Errol Barnett is on the tarmac. Of course he is on the tarmac. Errol. Good morning.
Hey there, Nate. Good morning. The stress test is on. Look, for most of the country, Thursday and Friday are days off. But here on the tarmac, there's no such thing. So we've been spending time with the men and women working this week to make sure this flight behind me makes it safely to Boston and to make sure you can see your loved ones face to face.
On a busy travel time like this, it's hectic.
It is one of the first steps in air travel, and for TSA officer Unique Nikita Lunford, her goal is to help get tens of thousands of travelers through security smoothly.
We absolutely celebrate when it's all over and we can kind of slow down and breathe a little.
The Delta Airlines, it's game time.
Oh, this is our Super Bowl every year. Thanksgiving week is when we see our peak travel demand.
Mark Sparks is Delta's VP of Airport Operations here.
And it may look like chaos to the average person, but there is a ballet that's taking place here.
At any given moment, there's dozens of aircraft and support trucks, plus thousands of airline and airport staff, all coordinating in real time. This area is what passengers don't see. On this day, some 80,000 pieces of checked luggage will be sorted, then loaded onto planes.
It makes us happy that everything finally is getting back to normal.
Karen Barali and Dion Kofa are part of Delta's ground crew. They're thrilled to see the increasing number of holiday travelers this year. But some airlines have struggled to get their footing during the resurgence of air travel during the pandemic. Southwest and American Airlines were hit with major cancellations last month, and many crews continue to deal with the rise in violent confrontations amid mask mandates.
Last year wasn't pretty. It was a dramatic change for us. But one thing about it, we didn't do, we didn't fold. We didn't give up. We didn't call it quits.
Delta says on Monday they had more than 4,000 flights system-wide and are almost at pre-pandemic levels. This travel rush is rewarding for former Marine and 737 captain Mark Garner.
One of the more gratifying things about flying on the holidays is, you know, at the end of the day, we're going down the escalator and we see families and friends getting together.
And all this is to help you get to where you need to be this holiday season.
I'm excited to just see my mom physically, give her a hug after 2 years almost.
Love the reunion. So the next time you look out the aircraft window, spare a thought for the ground crew who only have about 45 minutes to completely unload, reset, and reload the aircraft. And they do it each and every day, Gail, no matter the weather.
I know. I see a lot of people working very hard to make sure your travel experience is good.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and host of the Money Watch podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary and it's not boring. It is a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and maybe more importantly, on your life. I'm going to be your financial coach, someone who brings common sense and an insider's perspective on how to manage your money and your emotions. And I promise we are going to have a little bit of fun along the way. Have a question from retirement to career changes to college funding? Just send us an email at askjill@jillonmoney.com. Follow Money Watch wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.